Hey, welcome to the starting block here for another Thursday. I'm Soph Greeno, ready to take you to another big week in the world of sport. My co-host, absentee again, putting his feet up, resting comfortably at this point in time. Reasons unknown. Let's talk a little bit of football to kick off the show. Well, I don't know why I announced it. We open every show with football, to be frank, in some way, shape, or form, whether it be the AFL or the NRL. Normally NRL, because I put together the order, and that's what I kick off with. I'm not going to talk soccer. I'm not going to talk ABC2 coverage. I'm not going to talk about Margaret Court homophobia just yet. Might touch on it later. NRL Origin squad. The squads were announced, and all the... I don't know why they bother announcing the squad, to be frank. Like, let's be honest here. The squad went into camp before it was announced. So, you know, not exactly, you know, the national secrets occurring there. Just announce, if you know what the squad is, you know the squad. You knew the squad 6 weeks ago, to be honest there, Laurie. Announce it then, and let's just get on with it. Stop mucking about. But in that instance, if the squad's going in on Monday, announce it on Sunday night. Queensland managed to announce theirs at midday. Yet, even though New South Wales were already inside their camp and enjoying themselves, feet up, obviously a margarita in hand, the Queensland were there naming their side, whilst New South Wales thought, we'll wait till 6:30, we're going to wait till, you know, the beers have kicked in, then we'll get up there, and then we'll say hi, announce the boys. Let's go through the squad, and I'll say yay or nay as I go through. And my thoughts on who they've selected. James Tedesco at fullback, yay, that's fine, I have no qualms with that. Nowhere near as in good a form as he was last year, but that seems to be Laurie's way, pick him when they're out of form. That's the go. Remember he had to wait till Origin 3 or something for Dugan to get injured to get his run, even though he was unbelievable and then was still almost New South Wales' best player last year. Blake Ferguson, no. That's an A. The sex pest Blake Ferguson gets yet another Origin jersey. Quite frankly, I don't think his form has been that impressive this year. And at the same time, he's a criminal. So I want him nothing to do with this New South Wales squad, but they picked him anyway. You got Josh Dugan in the centres now. Josh Dugan hasn't played. It's an A. An A for me. Not because I don't think he's good enough to play, I just don't think he's fit enough. Now, this is, he had a fractured cheekbone, 3 weeks ago? And lo and behold, he hasn't played a game for the Dragons yet. Not in between since that injury to now. And we're going to send him into the cauldron? They call it the most physical game of the year. We're going to send him with no match fitness for 4 weeks to defend in the front line when he normally defends at the back? Interesting choice. I wonder what an independent doctor would have to say about that. I tweeted that out earlier today. Someone was like, Josh Dugan, he's cleared himself. He said he's going to be good to go. Well, last time I checked, Josh Dugan didn't have a medical degree. So if he goes out there and busts up his cheek again, which is highly likely, pretty physical game, I'd be pretty ticked off if I was the Dragons. Anyway, they picked him. Now, he is a definite big nay. One Jared Hayne. Now, you can talk about, you know, oh, he's a big match player, blah, blah, blah. His form does not warrant selection. There is no way in hell Jared Hayne form warrants selection. Secondly, he's proof, fitness-wise, he's not up to it. He can barely play the full 80 for his club, playing at fullback, as he is. I know they cover a lot of K's at fullback, but he's going to be a defensive turnstile. And if I'm Queensland, I'm just sending Matt Gillette down that edge. Hardcore. And just running havoc. They can score 4 tries down there on Hayne. I guarantee it. Brett Morris, look, no qualms with Brett Morris being picked, but we're eventually going to have to move on from some of these boys. We are going to have to move on. That's neither a yay or a nay. I have no qualms with him getting picked, but at the same time, there's another guy that probably deserves selection. I probably would have put him in. A guy like Nathan Ross, who's had a pretty good year thus far. I had no qualms and picked here. And if you're wondering who I would have picked instead of Jared Hayne, Jared Coker would have been a ready-made replacement for mine. Unbelievable, way better defender, and a better player around the Hayne for mine. And that's no Raiders bias. I'm normally pretty hard on my boys. I just think generally he's a better player. You got James Maloney at 6, well, that's a given. And Mitchell Pearce is back. Mitchell Pearce is back. Now, this is a man who is yet to win an Origin series. This next Wednesday, Mitchell Pearce will tie Andrew Johns for the equal most appearances for a New South Wales halfback. Mitchell Pearce is back. Who would I have picked? The problem is, there's no one who's playing better at the moment. But you hear Laurie crap on. Actually, not just Laurie. A lot of the Origin pundits crap on about, he's an Origin star player, he's an Origin star player, blah, 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 blah. They seem to forget that with Mitchell Pearce, because all this week, all we heard is, he's formed his career. It's going to be his team now that Robbie's gone. It's going to be his team. He's much more mature. He's much more mature. They said that the last three times that he failed. The exact same thing. It's his time to shine, blah, blah, blah. No. He's still going to be a liability. Good luck with that. Good luck, New South Wales. Well done. Aaron Woods. Now, this is the you talk about, the heart, the spirit, the ticker. This is a guy, he's basically, stuck his big old middle finger up to his own club. Bash him a little bit. I want to know who the coach is. I found out who the coach is. Now I'm going to leave anyway. I want cash. I want big cash. And he hasn't played for a few weeks, has he? Hasn't he been out injured? Same time. Who does Paul Vaughan have to root to get a run in this Origin squad? Now, I heard... I need to load it up. I need to load up this one. Because when I heard this garbage from one Laurie Daly, he's completely... I don't have much... much raps on Laurie's occasion to begin with, but I heard this one.
Folks are dumb where I come from.
Dumbest comment of the week. He was talking about Paul Vaughan, and they're like, how come Paul wasn't in the mix there? Look, you got a pretty big bench, and you had a squad of 400 at the start of the season. Where's Paul Vaughan? Why isn't he part of this team? He's been the best front rower. Not just in New South Wales, the best front rower in the league this year. So not just North New South Wales, not Queensland, the world. Paul Vaughan has been the best front rower. And his response was, I want to see a couple of years of consistent, good, solid form from Paul just to prove that he can do it. No. Pick him while they're in form. Let's wait 2 years and pick him when he's out of form, will we, Laurie? Well done, sir. Well done. What an idiot. What an idiot. This is the same guy, Laurie, last year. If we remember, let's just go back. I need to, if I may, play a little bit of intro music again. That's right, step back in time to last year where Laurie pumped out another one of these, if you will. It's Theme Song Central at the moment. We're going to keep on pumping about another Laurie Daly.
Folks are dumb where I come from.
Thomas comment of last year's Origin series where he said, look, they asked him why Tyson Frizzell and why Jack Bird weren't picked in Origin 1. He goes, look, I just don't think they're up to Origin yet. I've been keeping an eye on them. I just don't think they're up to it. They're not Origin ready. I don't want to put these kids in before they're ready. They're not ready. I've decided they're not ready. And then they had a couple of late injuries, and because they were like 18th and 19th man, they came into the squad. And who, lo and behold, turned out to be New South Wales' two best players for them last year? Tyson Frizzell and Bird. Did I say Greg Bird? I have to go back and listen to the tape. If I did say Greg Bird, I meant Jack Bird. They were our two best players last year. The two guys that Laurie deemed before not selecting them and then have to like scurry and put him in the squad, put him in the team due to late injuries, end up being our two best players. They weren't ready, though. They're not ready. Give him a run there, Laurie. Give him a run. Now, the same goes for the guy picked at nine. Now, I think, personally, this is the right selection, Nathan Peets. Time to move from the old guard, move to the new guard. Now, the only reason Nathan Peets is in this squad is because Peter Wall, it's old man Wall. His groin, bit of Shagger's groin, obviously, has led to him being, he's gone for 6 weeks, something like that. So injuries last week have ruined his Origin dream. It's ruined it. So Nathan Peets gets his opportunity there. And finally, once again, it took an injury for the right selection to occur, similar last year when Frizzell and Bird were part of the squad. Andrew Fifita, that's fine, welcome back. Remember last year when everyone said Andrew Fifita won't play Origin again when he got sent off in the third game when he decided to throw a punch? Amazing how quickly memories fade. With that being said, he's still one of the best front rowers in the game, so fair enough. Josh Jackson, good form. Boy Cordner, the new captain. Now, for those who are applauding the selection of Boyd Cordner as New South Wales' new captain, fine, whatever. Do they realise he's only ever started one Origin game? No one's mentioned that this week. And he started one Origin game ever, and he's only really captained his club this year. And he doesn't play 80 either. He'll probably play 80 here, but with the bench, you never know. Tyson Frizzell at lock, good stuff. The bench of Clemmer, Graham, Jake Dravojevic, well done, sir. Well-deserved Origin call-up and Jack Bird. I don't mind the bench. The bench is fine. I like Jack Bird's utility. And then the additionals are Matty Moylan, Jordan McLean, and Jack DeBellin. Why was Tedesco? Tedesco wasn't there last year because Matty Moylan was fullback. That's why. I was like, sitting there going, was Dugan even fullback last year? I swear he was on centre. So that's the squad. That's New South Wales. I'll make my prediction shortly. Queensland, on the other hand, they've left out a couple of surprise selections of them too. No, so no Billy Slater. Billy Slater's origin career appears over, bar an injury. Darius Boyd at fullback. Look, do I say fair enough? I don't know. Like he did the job last year without Billy, and probably one of the form fullbacks in the game. Just depends what you want. Safe under the high ball. I have no qualms with that. Corey Oates is a bit of a surprise selection there. Valentine Holmes missing out on the squad. Unfortunately for him, plays for Australia last week. Doesn't play for Queensland this week. Tough luck there. Corey Oates retains his spot. It's not like Corey Oates has been in bad form, but I think Valentine Holmes probably a bit more potent there on the edge. But my theory is that Oates, he's good on the run back. Good to just eat up those metres down the middle when the forwards are still retreating. So makes sense they pick him there. Well, Chambers, just no deal. Dane Gagai, whose form hasn't actually been sparkling there for the Knights, but he's there. The debut confirmed today with Jonathan Thurston's 38 straight game for Origin played. Streak comes to an end. That wasn't really articulate, whatever I just said there. But 38 straight games he has played, no longer. Anthony Milford, the MILF, will be debuting there at 6. But I'm expecting Ducks and Drakes there. I expect Morgan to actually start at 6, to be frank. And then the MILF will just come on, run havoc later on in the game. You've got Cooper Cronk at 7. With the injuries to Matt Scott, you've got Dylan Napper lining up at 8. That's going to be fun. Imagine how hard Dylan Napper is going to fire up before this game. The guy smacks like a Mack truck in regular, boring old Friday or Thursday night footy games. How fired up are you going to be? I'm looking forward to seeing Dylan Napper play. Cameron Smith, Nate Miles. Come on, Queensland. Come on. You're taking this loyalty stuff a little bit too far. Josh Papali. Are we going to make Josh do a breathalyzer before he heads over there? Might be a safe option. Matty Gillette and Josh McGuire at lock. The bench, Michael Morgan, Sam Thaiday, and Guerra. Another example of why. Why? Who does Jared Wallace have to buff to get in here? That's another one. And Jacob Lilliman there at 17. I think Jared Wallace has actually been brought in 18th man with what's Majigi Thurston being ruled out today. So there's that. There's the squads. Who do I like? Game one. Let's have a look at the odds, shall we? I can't promote any particular betting site. I just happen to have them up, though. $1.87 Queensland, $1.95 New South Wales. $1.85, that's free money for Queensland, really. Free money. They need to get pumped. How's that $1.87? That gets shorter? Is that blown out? I don't know. They must have been shorter before Jonathan Thurston was ruled out, weren't they? I don't know. We'll take it. I'll be getting on that. I'll tell you that much. Here's a man who will be enjoying those odds. Nice segue, unintentionally. Tim Simona's exotic bet of the week. Now, word is that New South Wales are set to stay at the Sydney Casino before game two. Now, team management, confident their players will respect the surroundings. Well done to New South Wales. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. Staying at the casino for a couple of weeks before Origin 2, the New South Wales. Well, you know, it's not like the fact that booze is going to be available 24 hours a day is going to be a problem. They're fine. They're well disciplined, these players. I want to get Tim Simona in the camp. Let's get Tim in there. He'll show them the sights. Bit of a tour. There's the craps table. There's the blackjack. Pokey's over there. If you want to get on a little bit of something, over there in the corner. Good job there, New South Wales. Let's do a review, because there was games on last week. Actually, I might come back. I'm going to come back, do a song, take a breath, kick on with next week's review.
I've never felt so accepted in all my life.
Yeah, back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If you want to get in touch with me, a couple of different ways you can do it. One of those is on the Twitter, at the starting block, no K at the end. Don't forget to drop that K. And also on the email, startingblock893@gmail.com. Check out the podcast, the starting block at podbean.com.podbean, something like that. Just search Podbean, iTunes, whatever. The podcast is there. Savor it. Enjoy it. It's sensational. Now, let's quickly do a review. No one cares. Does anyone care about what happened to the footy last weekend? We do this segment every week where I talk about, here's what happened a week ago. Yet, I still feel the time. Need the minutes, I guess. It's the only reason I still do it. We'll touch on it anyway. The Sharkies and the Cowboys, 18-14 Sharks, too good for the Cowboys. That was Thursday night footy. So Thursday night footy, our favourite segment is fans love their Thursday night footy because we love to check in, see how the bad boy rated. Because rugby league, it's the greatest game of all, remember. Let's not forget that. That's what we keep on being told. And everyone's like, oh, look, you know, the crowds may be down, but fans are tuning in droves. They love watching the footy, footy. And we were big fans of the Thursday night footy specifically. So we always check in week after week, see how this juggernaut rated. We don't bother checking the top four in the ratings because, you know, that's news. News blocks that out, but news always can be top four. We move on from there. Number five was MasterChef. Number six was Current Affair. I'm just going to go in order. ABC News was seven. The Project, The Chase, Home and Away. They round out top ten. So Home and Away, 635,000 tuned into Home and Away. Still no footy yet. Still no footy. Let's check the next couple, shall we? 7:30 on the ABC. Nope. Hot seat. Ooh, 12. So Eddie. Big fans of Eddie, obviously, there. 527,000 chewed into Eddie. Still no footy. Still no Thursday night footy. You've got 10 Eyewitness First News at 5. Law and Order SVU. Thursday. That's the late edition of SVU. So, once again, fans of the footy don't want to watch the final 10 minutes of a game that went down to the wire. Well, they're watching a little bit of sex offenders there. You got the checkout on ABC. A bit of stuff about groceries there at 15. You've got the footy show. No footy, no Thursday night footy yet. The Project, Family Feud, Law and Order repeat for SVU. So repeating sex offenders, 388 at 19, and The Chase at 20. So no Thursday night footy in the top 20. So less, more people would rather watch repeats of Law and Order SVU than Thursday night footy. Isn't it the greatest game of all? You got the Warriors versus the Dragons. What happened there? Warriors pumped the Dragons. The Warriors, they were all sorts. When Stephen Kearney got announced as skipper, the first thing we said on this show was like, why? Like, firstly, he proved that he couldn't coach before when he was at Para. Let's not forget that debacle. And everyone's like, oh, that's Para, that's different. Have you not seen this Warriors squad? Like, they're chock full of talent, but they just don't try. It's as simple as that. And the one thing they need a hardline coach. You know, you saw when crazy Ivan Cleary came in and started cracking the whip. Suddenly they started to look decent. They started to look dominant. And they got taken to a grand final. And then next thing you know, Ivan gets poached by Gus Arama and they start to struggle a little bit more. So when you think, like, the kind of coach we need, it's a bit more of a disciplinarian, someone who's just, you know, put the players on the right path. Kearney, not so much that mold. He's one of the boys and it's showing because their squad is packed with talent. The Tigers, well, they fixed their problem, haven't they? They got rid of Moses. Brooks, I don't know where he was. Was he injured? Was he having some court date thing, wasn't it? They still had Tedesco. They still had Captain Capcore Woods. How did they go? 36-0. Broncos pumped him. Manly beat the crazy Milakas there on Saturday night. The Raiders won me another six-pack off the big fella, 22-16 over the Eels. Yeah, the Panthers too good for the plucky Knights. The Knights managed to blow another halftime lead again. Well done, Knights. Raiders, have a look at yourself. How do you lose to this squad? Penrith as well. How do you go down 14-0 again? Like, you can't just keep on chasing down these. You got to actually start games, you know, play the full 80, kids. You got the Roosters, they were too good for the Bulldogs. And then the Storm beat the Rabbits there on Sunday night. Sunday night footy. Fans love their Sunday night footy. Let's do a preview. Let's look ahead, shall we? We've got... I hate these rounds. I just hate them. In all reality, no other sport in the world... I know I've heard this complaint on other shows, and I try and avoid talking about what's similar things what happens on other shows. But is there another sport that literally takes their best players out for 6 weeks and says, no. Keep playing, though. Keep playing, but we're going to take all these boys. They're busy for a couple of weeks. But you guys keep going for competition points. It makes no sense to me, really. Standalone rounds. Just, I can deal with it. I can deal with no Thursday night footy for a couple of weeks, if it means, you know, not seeing all these garbage games. Like, Rabbitohs Eels, they haven't got any rep players between them anyway. Doesn't matter. That's fine. That game is going to be murdered no matter what. But that'll be the highest quality game over this weekend somehow because they've at least got their players. Who do I like now? I like the Eels. I'm going to go Eels with no confidence whatsoever. You got the Warriors versus the Broncos. Now, the Warriors can't beat a Broncos side that's missing, you know, their 14 origin players. How many did they end up with this year? 14? 15 maybe? Boyd. Oh, it's 1-2. Milford 3. You've got Gillette 4. Maguire 5. Thaiday 6. So there you go. Six out of a squad of 17. Broncos. So they're missing their 6 best players, effectively, the Broncos. The Warriors will still somehow lose, I guarantee it. I've tipped the Warriors with zero confidence. You got the Sharks versus the Bulldogs. Well, Gal's playing. Gal, so he's trudging. He's told everyone, I'm still good enough for Origin, though. Laurie, if you need me, I'm just over here. Just over here, Laurie. Gal, it's over, mate. Move on. Time to move on. Just play for your Sharks. Keep your mouth shut. Now, Sharks versus Dogs. Well, Dogs are murdered in himself, but the Sharkies will struggle a little bit without Maloney and Bird. Who else is missing? Graham. I said, why did I tip the Sharks? I have to change that tip. That's terrible. Dogs have got to beat that, don't they? Who are they missing? Morris. That's it. The winger. Done. Is it Sunday? It's all right, because Hopper's spoken to Jesus. He's good to play. He's fine. It's a Saturday anyway, so it doesn't matter. And then Sunday afternoon, you got Raiders versus Roosters. Well, no one from the Raiders seems to get picked aside from Papali, so at least we've got a full squad. And then Roosters, they're missing. Oh, they're missing their Captain Courageous, or former Captain Courageous, Mitchell Pearce, Cordner. If the Raiders can't beat this Rooster squad, we should just give up right now.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Yeah, back on the block. That seems a little bit speedier than usual, that little one. Delayed in being played, but speedier when it punches out. Trying to make up some time, I guess. Yeah, you're back. What are we talking now? We're going to talk a little bit of NBA playoffs. We're going to go overseas and see what's going on there. Now, this, if you're talking boredom, if you're talking out-and-out dominance a la whatever Origin has been for the last, you know, decade or so, that pales in comparison to kind of things happening over there in the NBA at the moment. Now, this particular series between the Golden State Warriors and Spurs was over and done and dusted in no time. Now, you can say, look, you know, it was a tightly held contest in the first game. Well, it was, but doesn't mean anything in the end, because the Spurs end up getting completely obliterated and got swept 4-0. Thanks for coming. No need to worry about playing again there. Thanks for coming. Now, they've got off to a 12-0 start to the playoffs. No other team in history has ever done that. In NBA history, no one's ever won their first 12 playoff games. Unbelievable. Golden State Warriors, just unbelievable. Now, the Cavs look like they were on a similar track. They were looking good to sweep through Boston. Now, Boston in Game 3 were heading to Cleveland after being pumped by 45 or something like that at home, and also missing their best player for the rest of the playoff series. Now, they were no shot. They were paying like $102. That's how long shot they were. The Cavs were paying $102, and they were paying like $16. $16 to $100 you could get in a head-to-head contest. And lo and behold, and they were down by 25 at 1.2. Let's add that to the mix. So, away from home, just being pumped by 45, missing your best player, down by 25 halfway through the game, came back and won. The plucky little Celts, they're my team. We're not good enough to beat the Cavs, though. They're going to absolutely run through the rest of this and then give us the final series everyone knew was going to happen at the start of the year. They just wasted 82 games plus playoffs in everyone's time. Everyone knew that it was going to be Golden State versus the Cavs there come finals time. Let's just cut out the middleman and just play this, and then we can just watch the replay for the last 6 months. So at this point, though, Cavs are only up 3-1. Still yet to be decided. Anything could happen. It's sport, but it's not going to happen. It's going to be Cavs, and we're just going to move on. And I'll worry about that next week. Prediction for that, though, that'll kick off before I'm on air next week, so I can do my prediction. I think Golden State just too strong. Too strong. Cleveland showed they're definitely beatable. If the Celts, without their best player and down 25, can come back and win, I think this Golden State squad, which is just stacked with points no matter where you look, like they managed to chase down 20 odd points from Spurs, who are generally a pretty good defensive team there. So very, very impressive. I've got this weird thing where the system is automatically playing itself here, so that's a little bit off-putting. We'll see what's going on here when you've got the magic touch of external divine intervention over the top of what's going on here, just playing whilst I'm trying to do a show on air. If you're remotely logging in right now, One's hopping out. I've got to play something out of that in a second. Let's have a look at the NBA All Teams. You got Cleveland's LeBron James named All NBA First Team for a record tying 11th time, and Houston James Harden is the lone player to be a unanimous First Team selection this season. Now, looking at the overall squad, you've got Oklahoma City's Russell Westbrook. No surprise there, the man. Basically, averaged a triple-double this year. He did average triple-double, didn't he? San Antonio Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, and New Orleans, Anthony Davis. James and Westbrook each got 99 out of a possible 100 votes. Harden made the first team for the third time. Westbrook, Leonard, and Davis are now two-time first teamers. Golden State Steph Curry and Kevin Durant were second team choices, joined by Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo and Utah's Rudy Gobert and Boston's Isaiah Thomas. Third All-NBA team had Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, DeMar DeRozan, John Wall, and DeAndre Jordan. I'm thrown off by the system that he is. I'm moving down the wall. We're removing the wall here. That is what happens here on radio. So we obviously run off a system here. And at the moment, people can log in externally, and I'm trying to utilize it. And at the same time, they're moving things around, which is a little bit awkward, especially when I need to play something in about 4 seconds. And now, we touched on a segment. I need to potentially, I'd be using the one off the regular system now, but instead, I'm going to have to find it in a different system. The joys of live radio when someone decides to jump on in. We're going to do it anyway. Here we go. If we step back in time about 6 weeks ago, we came across a story where you had a 12-year-old MMA fighter who was literally being put into a fight with a 24-year-old combatant. And we're sitting there going, what's going on here? What's happening here? This can't be right. This is child abuse, blah, blah, blah. Oh, behold, this fight went ahead. Because in Japan, obviously, they don't care. Like, child abuse, whatever. Like, go nuts. Completely insane. It turns out the 12-year-old has won. The fight went down over the weekend, and Momo, the 12-year-old, destroyed Yamasaki, the 24-year-old. She took Yamasaki's back within the first few seconds of the fight, finished her opponent in the first round with a rear naked chokehold. Why did we question the beauty that was 12-year-olds fighting? Why do we ever doubt it? I don't get it. I don't understand. Time for a segment that's become a big highlight of the show over the last, 6 months. A little segment we like to call Hot Toss Off the Press. Oh, yeah. That's right, Hot Toss Off the Press, ladies and gentlemen. This is where something happened in the sporting world. A little bit smutty. A little bit moisture in the pantaloons, perhaps. Now, this is because we're talking overseas. We're still, over there in the US. This comes from the Fox booth. This is Hot Toss in the Booth, believe it or not. MLB on Fox tweeted out a picture of A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, preparing for his first broadcast in the booth. So he's retired last year, and he's gone, oh, that's right, I'm gonna jump on in the booth, and I'm good to go. So it's his first broadcast in the booth for them this year. He did a little bit of playoff stuff last year. That's fine. Good. He's getting a bit of prep. Sometimes you can carefully tweet some stuff out. It happened the other week with last week's Hot Toss, where there was a photo where a young rookie Mets pitcher was being photographed in front of his locker, and some of the players, stuff like dildos in the background there, and the picture was tweeted out. Now, a picture of A-Rod, he's writing down his game notes, because it's all about preparation there, A-Rod. He's like, I want my first day on the job, got to be on the ball, I write some really solid analysis of what I'm going to think about, what I'm going to talk about, and then the game, etc., etc. We'll see what we can do. A picture of A-Rod included a picture of the game notes. That's what he had there. Unfortunately, they didn't give away any confidential team information. A little bit different to that. A-Rod had written his plans on the notes of having a child with J-Lo, because he's dating J-Lo at the moment. One of which was pull out stuff. I don't make that up. Yeah, back on the block, legend and boys and girls. Not going to go through how to get in touch with me. No one does it. Let's move on. I'd be sad and miserable and lonely. No one gets in touch with this year at the show. Sad way to kind of kick off this segment, unfortunately, where this week the tragic loss of former MotoGP star and also MotoGP champion Nicky Hayden, who passed away from a freak incident. It's the second time where you have these stars who their job is to race around tracks at ridiculous speeds, and in Nicky Hayden and the guy like Michael Schumacher, and then accidents that have occurred post their careers in seemingly innocuous situations. Nicky Hayden unfortunately was struck by a car whilst riding his bicycle, suffering severe brain damage instantaneously, and passed away a few days later, tragically, only 35 years of age, the 2006 world champion. So our thoughts and prayers, well, not prayers, because we that's a different kind of show we do there, but our thoughts and commiserations and well wishes are with Nicky's family in this. Is that so sad, these situations? Like I said, you got Schumacher, who was skiing of all things, and then this, going for a bike ride and struck by a vehicle in Italy. So just tragic stuff. They're racing superbikes, I believe. This season, that was the plan, but a life taken way too short. Now, let's go over to the Indy 500 grid. Now, in case you're sitting there going, the ardent listener to the show, sitting there going, Grinno, you've never spoken about Indy 500 ever, like ever on this show. And it's a fair point. Well spotted, and thanks for listening. Now, only reason I raise it is because we're going to have to do another one of these where we step back in time, I believe. Right, step back in time to about 4 or 5 weeks ago, where it was announced that Fernando Alonso was going to skip the Monaco Grand Prix in Formula One, and they were going to let him go do Indy for the weekend. I'm like, ah, it's all right, mate. It doesn't matter. We're paying you millions to race our car around this track. And Monaco, the most prestigious of all races in the F1 calendar, old Fernando. So, nah, I'm going to duck over to Indy, race those for a little bit. And it's difficult. You can't just expect to jump into another sport and be able to whack that bad boy in the top 10 of the most prestigious race they have of the year, the Indy 500. But lo and behold, let's have a look at the grid. Scott Dixon got pole position. Well done, Scott. Well done. Ed Carpenter was second. Alexander Rossi was third. Our old crazy mate Takuma Sato is there in fourth, one of our favourites from years gone by. And lo and behold, in his first ever go in an Indy car, in a Honda, Fernando Alonso is fifth on the grid in row number 2. He will start in his debut IndyCar race. How easy are these things to drive? If Fernando can jump out of an F1 car one day into an IndyCar the next and park that bad boy. If you who's behind him? Let's have a look who's next. Hildebrand, Kanaan, Marco Andretti, there's a name that has a little bit of lineage. And Will Power, the Aussie. If you're one of those guys, have a look at yourself. Fernando is ahead of you. Is the Honda, I don't know. I don't know much about any car. Get in touch with me at the starting blog. Is the car that he's in, is it one that races normally? Or is this something they've just put together in a back paddock? I want to know about this Honda. Let me know. Get in touch. We'll do that. That's right, a bit more hot toss, believe it or not. Back-to-back, not back-to-back hot tosses, but we're spreading the hot toss around the studio. A little bit messy right now. Hot toss Warnie style. It had to happen sooner or later, didn't it? And sooner rather than later. Now, Shane Warne, his balls are famous, apparently. Not the cricket balls. Has something to do with a painting. The 48 cricketer was only the third Australian to be chosen to have their portrait hung up at the home of cricket. So a little bit of a painting there at Lord's. Warner's revealed a juicy tidbit about the work of art completed in 2005 that's sure to make his kids squirm a little bit. In a video film for Guardian Sports, blah, 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 Warne was on the receiving end of some attempted sledging from the respectable reporter who was trying valiantly to sort the leggy from the googlies. So Warne's secret was revealed. I know, it looks pretty good. I preferred the mural. They had to adjust the painting because they said my balls looked too big in it. That's what they had to do. They had to come and touch it up. They had to touch my ball bag up. This is a quote. I'm not just saying filth on air. This is hot toss. I don't control this segment. The segment controls me. They had to touch my ball bag up. That's true. That's actually true. That's true. Gotta love Horny. There we go. The Mitchell Stark party whistle means we're almost out of time. I don't know where over the space of the last year or so, suddenly there's an extra segment in my rundown without realizing. I swear I've done more segments today than I normally do, yet I still was a segment behind. I got to pay more attention to my log, to be frank. That's because otherwise we miss out on the party whistle, and very importantly, we miss out on the rural fire service danger ratings. It's got to be fixed up quickly. Now, about a minute ago, the Liverpool versus Sydney FC match exhibition yesterday evening took a serious turn on Twitter about, 30 seconds into the coverage when the fans realised that ABC2 was the first. Firstly, they were showing it. Secondly, they realised that it was being commentated on by comedians, and the comedians had no interest in commentating correctly. Now, I don't mind it. I think it's kind of amusing, but if you're an ardent soccer fan tuning in to check out, Liverpool fight against the mighty Sydney FC, who a couple of weeks ago we already heralded as the greatest team of all time, get dusted, you kind of don't want to see comedians. And the guy at halftime, I don't know what his name was, he definitely was not funny. But good backlash, and thankfully Margaret Court has managed to sweep in and kind of take the heat off him this week. Anyway, with that being said, I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that.
Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the truth?